Hello and welcome to Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. This week I am joined by the administrator, the translator, the...
what else? Historian?
Historian and sometimes medical advisor of the podcast, Kirsty.
No, please do not send in your medical questions.
Yeah, she only answers whenever I have really bad ones. So, Kirsty, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here. And also on the line with us, Kirsty, I have the RP, the flip-flop, thong, and horseshit guru, Matthew, in the kingdom, baby.
In the kingdom, baby. Hello, how are we?
Glad to have you back, Matthew. Matthew.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
It's tough being away.
I know. I know you wanted to be
it
here.
It was tough for us, too.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah. Kirsty was counting on you that week, so.
Yeah, we were very missed.
You know what, baby?
That's tough. That's
tough.
Matt is still, wait till we do the music what we listen to, Matt. I have a feeling we're going to hear something from Matt here in a minute, Kirsty, so.
Mm-hmm.
But before we hear from Matt, always going to hear from Kirsty first. So, Kirsty, what music have you been listening to in the past week?
Okay, it's quite a lot. First of all, I listened to Lord, the band, not the girl singer. Lord live at Prog Power, USA from 2017. And that was epic, and I really hope I get to see them here live in Perth. And I saw something on Twitter about a band. I don't know how you say it because I've only seen it written down. It was Danava, I think. D-A-N-A-V-A.
Okay.
And they said that it was like a cross between Iron Maiden and Rush. So I checked that out, and it was very Maiden-esque, lots of dual guitar harmonies. So I listened to their recent album, Nothing But Nothing, and it's just like a mix of all of your favorite 70s rock bands, but very bright and energetic.
Okay.
One track borrowed really heavily from Heaven and Hell by Black Sabbath, but it was a good listen. And on Thursday, I had to take my teenager to Fremantle, which is 45 minutes away, and I let her choose the music. And I thought she'd go with Taylor Swift. And to my surprise, there was a playlist with lots of Queen and David Bowie. And I sang all the way there and back. I said to her, did you think this was going to happen? She said, yeah, I knew there was a good chance. We suffered through it. And then that night, I went to see the Iron Maidens.
Ah.
So, which was my second time to seeing them.
And, oh, okay.
I've been waiting for about 3 years now because it got cancelled and rescheduled because of COVID.
Yeah.
So I finally got there, and it's just a really flat room that's packed, and I'm like 5'2", but I managed to balance on a ledge at the back, and I managed to see the whole time, which is really good.
Yeah. So
they didn't have Courtney Cox this time because she's filling in the guitarist on the Burning Witches. Sorry?
I said, were you living on a razor's edge?
Yeah, sitting on the ledge.
Yeah. There you go.
And they open with 2 minutes to midnight, which makes a change because usually all cover bands seem to open with Aces High.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few surprises. There was Die With Your Boots On, which I did share on Twitter and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And Transylvania. Killers.
Hmm.
But this is why I couldn't wait to tell Matthew.
Uh-oh.
They played
Deja Vu.
Oh.
I filmed the whole thing. I was trying to send it to Steve.
I saw it.
You did see it.
Yeah, I got it. Good. I did see it. Yeah.
And it was really good. A really good version of it. My friend Mark, he said that's not one of his favorite songs of Somewhere in Time, but it was a fantastic version.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, he was just ranking Somewhere in Time songs with me. And there was another song that I thought Matthew would have loved as well, Flash of the Blade.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so that was a really good treat.
How long did they play for?
An hour and a half.
Oh, okay. So did they have a support or anything?
They did do. I It was like a local band, and I would have arrived about halfway through that band playing. Did my drinking during that, and then ready to go get on my ledge.
So they just do the one show there, then they're out. That was the last show of the tour, I would guess, if they're in Perth.
It was the first show of Australia, yeah.
Oh, okay, so they come through the West.
So they were really jet lagged, she said. And it was a Thursday night, which is like, it's not good for me. No. Luckily, it finished at 10:30. I was all geared up for it finishing at midnight, but they went on early, so thank goodness for that.
Matt, she said that wasn't good for her.
Well, yeah, we would say there.
What would
we
say?
You got to see it. We didn't, so baby, that's tough. No, we wouldn't say that to Kirsty. I wouldn't. Steve probably would.
I would.
What was the best track of the night for you, though?
Well, I think Flesh of the Blade, just because I was really, just really pumped because I haven't heard it live, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are they selling merch there?
Yes.
They do?
There was, yeah. They had $50 t-shirts.
50?
Aussie dollars.
Okay.
35 Australian, maybe. US.
US.
35, 40. Mm.
Yep.
That's not bad.
But they had the tour dates on the back.
They play
Killers as well. I was really happy about that.
And I was just thinking, since you bought your tickets 3 years ago, that was probably a pretty good price.
Yeah.
2023 concert. Yeah, with 2020 pricing. Not going to get that anymore.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, so that was really good. And then Mark gave me a lift home and he said, what do you want to listen to? You can have Made in England or Somewhere Back in Time. So I picked Made in England.
That's what I would have said.
But I don't really live that far from the city, so I had to finish off when I got home. Another thing I've listened to is lots of Voyager, of course, because it's Eurovision next week. And they've got a new single out called Prince of Fire, which is obviously quite a lot heavier than a Eurovision song. And I watched a YouTube video that's got all the Eurovision songs that are going to be in the two semi-finals this week, but not the full song, like maybe a couple of minutes clips, and you can fast forward through them. And I finally have listened to Metallica, 72 Seasons. It took me a while. It kind of felt like it was going to be a chore because it's about an hour and 20 minutes, and not many people had that. Good things to say about it, but there's a lot of good stuff there. It was like I was really enjoying the opening track, that's a banger, but then I was kind of ready for it to finish before it did.
Yeah,
and that kind of sums up the album really.
how many songs is that?
Oh, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
but it's basically the length of a typical Maiden album bit. Now a typical
yeah,
Maiden album length.
Even Senjutsu isn't that long, is it? Or is it? I don't know. It doesn't seem that long anyway. It doesn't seem as long. So that tells you something.
Well, the last song, isn't the last song like 11 or 12 minutes long? Kirsty didn't pay any attention.
I was kind of cleaning my house.
I got you. No,
I also, there's one more thing. I listened to something really chill yesterday that you wouldn't like, probably, Steve. Elbow.
Elbow. Okay.
Have either of you heard of Elbow?
No, I've never heard of that.
They're a British band. And I listened to an album called The Seldom Seen Kid from 2008. I like them because I saw them in 2011, which was the year I got married. Their most famous song is called One Day Like This, and it's regularly used in celebrations. Okay. It's about waking up with a hangover after a one-night stand, so. But, you know, it's got the right feel.
Well, Matt's halfway to the hangover, so.
Yeah. So that's my music for the week.
All right. Well, I haven't asked you this in a while, Matthew, but.
There's usually a reason for that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I should ask you maybe what the internet told you to listen to, but I'm sure this is probably a combo. I think maybe it's always a combo, so. What have you listened to in the past week?
Well, I don't know if the internet told me to listen to anything this week, but first cab off the rank again, and it's been like this for about a month or so now. Akadaka. Can you guess what that might be?
I have a feeling it begins with a P.
and ends in Ourage.
Ourage, yeah.
Yes, Powerage. Man, I'm still listening to that quite a bit. I would listen to that probably only a couple of times this week because I was a bit busy with work and listening to some other things. But that thing, since I've heard that, that's had a lot of plays at this household and in the car and in the kingdom in general. So if there's some clown running around the streets riff-raffing, it's probably me.
Yeah.
I listened to also one of these dot-com bands. Are you familiar with them?
A dot-com band? What do you mean?
Halloween.
Oh, wish.com, yeah. Man.
Wish. Yes, yeah. I listened to Halloween, the Walls of Jericho, because they're going to be, actually, they're here now.
Yeah, they're in the States now.
Yeah, if you recall, probably next weekend I would have been seeing them with you.
I asked my wife again if I could skip the graduation next weekend, and I didn't get a word back, but I got a look back, so if that was answer enough, I think. So.
Was it Baby That's Tough?
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, you know, if I stayed here, you know, well, Baby, that stuff, exactly.
She gave you the stink eye.
Oh, man.
Well, it's okay because I'm going to be going northwards to go see them in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, Halloween, The Walls of Jericho, I listened to back to their first album with Kai Hansen singing. But some other, I just started wanting to listen to some different things after that. So I got into some Sacred Reich, and I haven't listened to them for about a year or so. The American Way.
That's a pretty
little album. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to some more Halloween. So I went and listened to Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 1.
Okay.
And then I don't know what happened after that, but are you familiar with the band Running Wild?
I've heard of them, but I don't know.
It's like a German band from out of the 80s.
Yeah.
Under the Jolly Roger. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd heard of that back in the 80s, and for some reason that popped in my head. I was like, oh, I'll give that a bit of a bell. And some Demons and Wizards. I don't know if I've talked to you about them before or not, but you would know at least one of the people in that band. John Schaefer.
Oh, yeah, the guy from
Iced Earth.
Iced Earth, yeah.
Yeah, and I like this album, Demons and Wizards, from a few years ago. And, like, I like the guitar in it, but I like the singer's voice. And he's in another band. I don't know if it's Blind Guardian or someone. And I've heard him in other bands, whatever other band he's in, and I didn't like it. But his voice in Demons and Wizards sounds pretty cool. One of your favorites, Judas Priest. Judas Priest.
Okay.
So it's not often I'd ever listen to them, but I listened to a podcast and they were talking about Defenders of the Faith. And I had the Sentinel in my head. They played a little bit of that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I'd woken up a couple of times thinking about that in the morning, like the riff and the chorus to it. And I was like, oh, I'll go have a bit of a listen to that and gave that a go. It was a good one. And what else did I have? Oh, The Almighty. Went back and listened to some Crank from the 90s. Everybody's mate, Blaze Bailey. I gave him a run during the week as well, and I listened.
Oh, yeah, I really wanted to get to that too.
Well, I wanted to listen to a few of his things. I was in the mood for it, and I got through Blood and Belief. And I was like, oh, I want to go listen to the trilogy, and then ran out of time work-wise, and I think that was pretty much the end of that. Oh, sorry, I did listen to Tribuzy. I don't even know if you say it as Tribuzy or Tribuzzy.
I've heard it Tribuzy. Tribuzy.
It is Tribuzy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Tribuzy.
Like the super band. It's got.
Again, it's hard when you've only seen it written down.
It is. So, and I really listened to it because I wanted to hear the song with Bruce, and I can't think what the name of the track is. It's the last track on the album. But I do like that album.
It's got it's called The Days of Future Past, I think, right?
Or execution, perhaps. it's coming back to me now.
See, that's Kirsty. That's he thought that Days of Future Past was the Tribuzy song.
Beast in the Light. I'm just trying to ignore you a little bit. Beast in the Light is the name of the song. No, I like that album, and I like the fact that it's a it has an assortment of different vocalists.
And but Bruce just sings one or two songs.
He only does the one song, but that Beast in the Light song, I think that's awesome when he comes in on that. He sounds so good.
Yeah, I remember I heard it. You had me listen to it once. It was pretty decent, I thought.
You just didn't like the, because there's two different singers in that track.
Yeah, I liked it. What Bruce did was really powerful.
Yeah, I didn't like the other singer.
Yeah, I remember Steve had told me that you'd had a listen and you'd said something about power metal vocalists. And I was like, I get it. You know, it's to each their own. Sometimes I'm in the mood for it. Sometimes I'm not. But I was in the mood for some Bruce that day. But no, I don't mind that. But that was my listening for the week. What'd you have?
Okay. Well, whilst you were talking,
Oh, good use of the word whilst there.
Yeah. I also thought I should bring up that I, well, have an acronym. It's kind of a weird acronym this week. It's kind of a, well, you'll hear it. It's not really a word, but it could be something. So start off with Akadaka, of course. I'm sure you probably can know that one of the albums I listen to is the same as one of the albums you listen to, Powerage. Mm-hmm. Also listen to something else, and I was influenced by having a conversation with somebody about a week ago. So I also listened to Power Up. So I listened to Power Edge and Power Up. So, and really, I hadn't listened to Power Up in a little bit, and it's still really good, really strong. I like it a lot. So that's my first letter, Matthew. I don't know if you're going to be writing any of this down.
I was, but hey, quick question on that.
Yeah.
So disregard the Bon era.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Power Up, what would you have said was your favorite Brian Johnson album?
Probably Flick of the Switch.
Okay. How do you think this compares to that?
The Power Up? It might be better.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I might like it better. It's really strong. I mean, it's granted, there's a few albums I've never really heard much of, or like Black Ice and Ball Buster, Ball Breaker, whatever that one. I don't think I've heard. I might have heard a song from each of those, but I couldn't tell you. And then there's the one Stiff Upper Lip. I don't know if I've heard that really, which is the one that they were touring in 2009 when they did the
is it Black Ice? I think
whichever the one that starts with Riding Runaway Train, whichever one has that song. I might have heard that one once. I think what's the album that came out after the one that's the one before Razor's Edge, the one with Money Talks on it. No, that is Money Talks. The one before that with
Who Made Who?
No, it's after Who Made Who. It's the
It's with got the, not Thunderstruck, it's got Heatseeker on it. Blow Up Your Video.
Yes, I like that one pretty well too. But
yeah, I think that's a good one.
But I think Flick of the Switch is probably, you know, the one that I'm very, that I've listened to and like, man, this is just a great album. But Power Up is really strong, and it's got some old school AC/DC, you know, riffage and just style, and especially considering Brian Johnson, you know, he's 75 now. So he had to be 70, 71 when they recorded that. And I mean, he does a really good job for what he does, you know.
Well, his style of voice, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure it's a lot of muscle memory in what he does, just like watching Dave Mustaine play insanely fast riffs. And you're like, well, he's older and he's been through cancer and he's had all these problems, but he's done it for so long. It's just like second nature to probably do it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I listened to Powerage, and then I listened straight to the Power Up after that. I was like, that's kind of a cool transition. And I think it's really strong. It's well produced. It was produced by Brendan O'Brien, I believe. So so that's the first letter. Second letter is something you an artist you listen to as well, Blaze Bailey. And I listened to War Within Me. So third. And this band, I listened to two of their albums. It's a band called Collective Soul. It's one I've been trying to get Kirsty to listen to, especially.
I did listen to a couple of tracks on the weekend, and I recognized one of them. I told you.
I don't remember you telling me, but.
Well, never mind.
Okay.
I did listen to them.
But I think the album called Dosage, which is the first album I listened to by them. It's a really strong album. There's one song on there that I don't really like because it's a different guy in the band singing it. But outside of that, I think that is just a fantastic album. I don't really know how to describe it, but I love that album. And the second album I listened to by them is their, because I hadn't really listened to anything new by them. Like that album came out probably in, 95, 96, 97 era, somewhere back in there. I don't remember exactly. And I just thought, you know what? Why don't I just download whatever their newest album is and give it a go and see how I like it. And that album is called Vibrating. And I got to say, man, Matthew, you okay?
I'm good.
Okay, I just thought I heard some noise on your end. I wasn't sure.
That you rub at my end.
Excuse me?
It's all good.
Matthew? So, I listened to this album, and
excuse me.
Are you choking on a drink over there?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So, but I listened to the album, and I mean, I was really shocked that it was as good as it was. I was like really surprised that I liked it as much as I did, but it's really good. So, you keeping track so far, Matthew? You have everything written down?
ABC.
Okay. So the last band I listened to in the first part of my acronym is Dawkin, right? And I listened to their final album before they broke up originally. It was called Back for the Attack. And that's I love that album. There's only maybe two songs out of about 13 that I kind of don't like. And the rest of them is just, I think it's a great album.
Hang on, you didn't listen to 26 albums, did you?
Oh, no.
26 bands.
26 bands. No, I've only got two more. But I was trying to work on an acronym, and I could have probably made a word, you know, but I just decided when I saw that I had A, B, C, D, that I would go this way. So the next band I listen to, Matthew, maybe you could put a period after the D there. That's the first part. And the second set here I listen to, the first band is a band that has gotten a lot of album reviews in the past year on here. Matthew, what band have I reviewed the most albums by in the past year? What do you think?
Oh, in the past year.
Thank you, Kirsty.
Thank you, Kirsty.
That's why we asked Kirsty instead of Matt, I guess.
I was trying to build I was trying to build the drama with the pause.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it going.
Yeah, Kirsty's just trying to keep it going here. So, the first album I listened to, that's one that I've listened to a couple of times in the past year, and but I hadn't played it in a while. And well, this is something that's not in my acronym. Let me go out of the way for a second here. I downloaded these albums by something called it's kind of like a cover band, but it's Ozzy Osbourne's keyboard player. And he has a thing he does called Jazz Sabbath, where he plays Black Sabbath songs in the style of jazz. And I read something about him recently, and I just thought, man, I'm going to download those and just listen to them. There's no vocals. It's just, you know, it's jazz. And which I don't know if I like jazz or not. I've really never listened to it. So the other day, my wife and I were going to a marriage counseling session, you know, because I'm hard to live with, apparently. And I was playing this album on the way up there because I was just like, let me put something on this, you know, I was just like, you know, you can kind of figure out where they're at in the song here and there. You know, you hear little bits and you kind of go, oh, it's kind of cool because you know what the songs are. And we went to the session, and as we were leaving, I was wearing a Megadeth shirt. And when we were walking out, and the guy starts reading my shirt on the back, and he goes, bring out your, and then he stopped, and I go, you're dead. And as soon as I heard him say, bring out your, you know, and I said dead, I thought, I got in the car and I just turned on The Sick, the Dying, and the Dead. I was just like, I haven't heard this in a while, but that was just enough to make me want to put it on. And I listened to the album probably about two or three times in a row. Just still love it, man. I still think it's a super, it might be my favorite album by them at this point, just bar none, even more than Rust in Peace. So, definitely more than Peace Sells. And then I was influenced, here, Matthew, here's where I was influenced a little bit by the internet. So now we're back on my thing. So Megadeth, that's the first letter in my second part of my acronym here. I don't remember who it was. Some guy on Twitter had wrote that he had a picture of the Megadeth album that I listened to, the second one called Super Collider. And he said, this is the worst album Megadeth ever made. And I immediately came on there and go, I like it better than the debut album. And he was like, what the? And I was thinking in my mind, I've never even heard it, but I know I'll like it better. I just replied back. I just said, I don't like the debut album. I don't like the production. It's just, you know, I just don't like it. And so then I just thought, okay, now I have to make sure and listen to this album because this is one of those albums. I've never heard 13 and I've never heard United Abomination. So it's the only two albums left that I haven't heard. And so I listened to this whole album and there's a couple of songs that were kind of cringy, but there was also some songs that I thought were really good. So I thought it's going to need more listens, you know, to really figure those things out. And the last band I listened to, Matthew, in my acronym is I don't even know how to classify this type of band. It's like it's almost a churchy type band, and they just have this really super mellow style. And the other day, Sarah was listening to Harry Styles, right? And and some songs she was playing, and I thought, man, that reminds me of this band, and they're called Rivers and Robots. And they're just like super, super, super chill, mellow music. And I thought, I think I'm going to listen to one of their albums. And so I listened to their album, and it's called Discovery. So, Matthew, what is my acronym currently?
Oh, I've got here ABCD, period, Mr. MR.
ABCD, Mr. So that's my acronym.
I've got a better acronym.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I listen to Iron Maiden, Metallica, space. Then I'm going to take the from Iron Maiden's. So okay. I'm the. Then I listen to Danava, Elbow, Voyager, Iron Maiden's, and Lord Devil.
Golly.
And, you know, I don't listen to stuff to make an acronym, so wasn't too bad.
Yeah, you got on board the last time you were here, and then I thought you just, and then Andrew, I thought Andrew lifted everybody's spirits with the acronym last week that he had, kinda.
Yeah, but he already had the word, and then he listened to the albums.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's easier than listening to the albums and then making up words.
Andrew let the football team influence him, so.
He had to listen to all sorts of nonsense to get that done.
He did. So yeah, so that's what I listened to this week. I had this is the first week I started a new job, kind of not a new job company, but just a new route, and I've got a lot more listening time now. So how about podcast? Kirstie, did you listen to any podcast this past week?
Well, I've just given away the first thing I had to listen to as soon as it came out was The Weekend Warrior, Andrew Whitnell.
Yeah.
On the Waffle Zone.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that was a real treat.
Yeah.
We don't get to hear him do it very often.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Wayne's Iron Maiden podcast, of course.
Of course.
Lightning strikes twice. I listened to Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. It was an Iron Maiden story with the wolf. And he went to some really cool gigs. So if you haven't listened to that, he saw a gig with Blaze Bailey, and I made a gig with Blaze Bailey, and he went to Ozfest. So that's definitely worth a listen.
Yeah.
And Talking Maiden, talking about Blaze, they talked about their top Blaze Bailey songs, and I was pretty happy with that. And that's why I was planning to listen to Blaze, but it just never happened.
Yeah.
And listened to Feckin' Metal as well. He was talking about UK metal festivals. You know how a lot of them are being cancelled and what he thinks the future will be for that. So it's good. Yeah. That's it, I'm afraid, for me.
Matthew?
So we had a couple of the same. I did also listen to Fex talk of the shows getting cancelled, etc., the festivals. I didn't get all the way through Talking Maiden, but now that I think about it, that was what made me go and listen to Blaze later on. But it was interesting. I was hoping that they might have picked one of my favorite Blaze songs, but neither of them did.
Oh, but they picked five. I Like It Hot.
Oh, do you know what? I was really happy to hear that. It made me smile.
Yeah, I used to love that. I bought that when that came out.
Yeah, and I can kind of get what they say about it. You know, it's just a rock song more than anything else, but he's so good back in there. You can hear the happiness in his voice.
He was just really fun in that. Like, now he's all totally serious and operatic, and that's good too, but it's nice to hear him just having fun.
Just 90s. 90s fun, 90s rock. Yeah, that was a good one. There was that. I used to like Manhunt. That was one of the other singles as well. But I Like It Hot was a real good one. What else did I have here? Yes, I too listened to Andrew and the Waffle. And then I did listen to Uncle Steve's story. And the Blaze show. Blaze Club show. That would have been really cool to see. Oh, and I was thinking about it. I wonder now if people think back differently on that time. Like, yeah, I got to see Maiden, but I only got to see Blaze. Or is it, yeah, I got to see Maiden with Blaze. I wonder if that's looked at as a positive now, where maybe it wasn't at the time. I mean, either way, I didn't get to see them. But I would like to have seen them back then.
I wasn't even thinking about them. They weren't on my radar. I had no idea what they were doing that whole time.
Oh, is that right? Well, I was
I was just like, I am done with this band.
I remember I was bitter because they wouldn't tour Australia or anything like that. I was like, okay, you're supposed to go out and tour to support your album, but you don't come here and blah, blah, blah. And Bruce was being Bruce, which was more Iron Maiden-y sounding at the time is what I used to think. But anyway, moving right back. Pot of Thunder. Their latest episode was for Queens of the Stone Age, No One Knows. And I didn't think I knew that song, but apparently I did from I did. I just didn't realize it.
You didn't know it was called that?
No, I had no idea what the name was because it wasn't my thing. But I remember it had so much play on like the video shows and stuff like that I would see that. Some Jim Florentine, in case Steve didn't listen to him this week. I did, and he had an episode. He was pretty harsh. Awful dating sites. It's just Jim being miserable. Misery loves company, Jim.
Sure.
Yeah, pretty hard on that. You mentioned Power Ridge before, turning 45 this year, and Music for a Lifetime covered that. They did an episode on that. And I listened to another episode straight after theirs, another Music for a Lifetime. They did one on Testament, the New Order, being 35 years old this year. I don't know, I might listen to that. He gives you a bit of insights. Usually I find out things I don't know, and I did on both of those. It was good. And then lastly, I finished on Friday with Asylum, the Kiss podcast. They were doing opening acts. And they covered Judas Priest, Defenders of the Faith, which is what prompted me to go and listen to Judas Priest because I probably wouldn't have otherwise, and that was a good one. But that was my podcast for the week.
Okay. Well, another week where I didn't listen to Jim Florentine. I think I'm just – I don't know why I haven't listened to him. I keep thinking about it, but then I just – I don't know, weird moods or something. But I only listened to two more than two episodes, but two separate podcasts this week. And funny enough, they're two podcasts that I've never listened to ever. So the first one was called The Hook Rocks. And it's an episode with George Lynch, formerly of Dokken. And it said it was called George Lynch Returns to Talk Sweet and Lynch, which I guess he does a solo project with the lead singer of Stryper, which I had no interest in hearing him really talk about the project other than just wanted to hear an interview with George Lynch. And it was a really good interview. It was interesting. So, and then another podcast that I kind of had heard about before, but I'd never listened to, and it was called the Talk Louder podcast. And there's one guy that used to write for some rock publication. I'm not sure what it was. And then the other guy is a guy named Jason McMaster, who's kind of been in the news in the past few months. He is the guy who filled in for John Bush whenever he couldn't play with Armored Saint. And he also filled in for Accept for a little while when I guess their singer couldn't do a few shows. But anyone, you know, from the 80s era might know him as the lead singer of Dangerous Toys, which is how I know him. And it's just a podcast where they talk about all kinds of random stuff. And they had interviewed, I had talked a while on here before about seeing a local cover band called Back in Black. And they made a documentary called My Stupid Tribute Band. And so they were interviewing the guy who started that band about the documentary and just, you know, talking about keeping a band going because they've been going for 20 years. And he said that's why he made the documentary. But it was a really interesting listen to hear that guy talk. He's very humble, just a super cool guy. And, you know, they talked about some interesting things about AC/DC and playing their songs and stuff. And then there was another episode I listened to by them, and it was called Paid Meet and Greets, where they were talking about their thoughts on artists doing paid meet and greets. And I've seen another artist on Twitter kind of throwing a big hissy fit about artists that do paid meet and greets. So I just thought I'd ask real quick Kirsty, what are your thoughts on an artist doing paid meet and greets? Do you think there's times when it's okay and not okay, or what?
Look, if you really want to meet them and they need the money, then yes, I personally wouldn't pay for it.
Okay.
There was an option for Voyager. I mean, I've actually met them for free, so
yeah.
But I just wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Personally.
What about you, Matthew? What do you think?
I think it's just because of the way the music industry changed. They're not earning through album sales anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You pick up what you can while you can. Personally, I can't think of any band that I would pay for a meet and greet for.
Okay.
I just don't think that whatever you pay is going to be worth the time
what
that
you get.
Yeah. Because it's so
not going to make you feel like you're the most important person in the room or anything like that, are they?
No.
I mean, I queued to meet and greet Jimmy Giggle, who's a popular children's entertainment here. That was free.
Jimmy
and
Giggler.
He did his best with
he must be in the Wiggles.
Minute. No, he's not. He's on his own. He's with Giggle and Hoot. He was. you know, he really looked at my kids and gave them attention, but like you didn't even get a minute, and we queued for 2 hours 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I just think about, you know, back in the day where you could hang around and wait maybe to meet someone, or you might run into someone on the street or whatever, and how special it was for that minute. But for them to, you know, you pay your $50 if you're lucky, because usually it's going to be in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And of course, I get economies of scale. The bigger the band, the more they're going to charge. Because imagine a band like Maiden doing that. They're not going to slug someone $50 because everyone would do it. So of course you put the prices up. But I think it takes away that little bit of magic about it if you've got to pay to meet someone.
Okay.
So that's not for me. I could understand people why they would want to do it. That's just not for me, though.
Yeah, I guess I feel a little differently because one of the things that's what they said is like, you know, back in the day, it was an art to try to meet them. You know, you had to try to maybe hang out at a hotel or get to a gig really early.
That's right. And when Iron Maiden was supposed to come to Perth to kick off the festival in 2020, I had it all planned out where I was going to lurk.
Yeah. But I guess my thoughts now are, you know, like Matt said, obviously the bands don't make the money that they used to on records and things. And my thing is let's just say that artist was going to, you know, give you a lesson, like a singing lesson or a guitar lesson. You're going to get more time for your money. But I'm like, to me, I remember when I was on the phone with Blaze Bailey that one time I got a chance to talk to him. And I remember sitting there thinking in my head about, I never really thought about it too much until I was having on the phone with him and thought, you know, because he's literally got one interview and then he hangs up with me. He's on the phone with somebody else. He hangs up with them. He's on the phone with somebody else and so on, because this guy was the lead singer of Iron Maiden. And I thought, there's so many people. This is one person known worldwide, and this is just Blaze Bailey. I mean, imagine somebody like, you know, and I'll just throw Kiss out there because, you know, everybody in the world knew who Kiss was, you know, with the makeup, and they're very recognizable. And I'm like, so I think a person's time is valuable, and especially the older we get, and the music industry has changed so much. And for me personally, if it was a reasonable price, I would probably do it. Like, I mean, when am I ever going to get a couple of minutes with someone like Blackie Lawless or someone like Alice Cooper? But the problem with me is I have a daughter that I would want to take, and what I'd be willing to pay for myself, I don't know that I just can't really afford to double it. And
you're not going to leave her outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't feel like, I don't really feel like, you know, certain instances where a band like Kiss is charging people $1,000 and they're herding them through like cattle. There was a while during COVID where they were standing behind a plexiglass. And I mean,
I was thinking of that. That's a joke.
Yeah. And I don't like that at all. But I think, like, I remember a guy that I knew had met Alice Cooper once, and he had went to the paid meet and greet, and which I was going to do, and it was pretty pricey. But then something happened where I had to spend the money. And he said, look, you're going to go in there. You're going to be the only one in there. You know, you're going to get maybe 5 minutes, maybe 5-10 minutes of his time. And I'm thinking, everybody in the world, you know, not everybody, but in the rock world, Alice Cooper is just a household name. I'm like, to be able to sit down and have 5 or 10 minutes with the guy and just tell him how much his music means to you and just, you know, just have a real moment, whether you paid for it or not. Like, I mean, to me, it's like, it's only going to happen once ever, possibly. You know, I'm not, I doubt I'm going to run into him, you know, at the grocery store or something. But, you know, I think it's worth it. But a lot of people, and I haven't really ever been able to pay to meet anybody. And a lot of people, I think when people complain about it and they think it's kind of like it's not ethical or, well, the artist, one guy was saying the artist ought to have to take the money from their hands. And I'm like, look, man, these guys don't owe us anything except the music. They don't owe us their time except at a concert when we pay for a ticket. They don't owe us a hello. They don't owe us anything. All they owe us is the music that we pay for. And I mean, so to me, I think what's the most valuable thing you have? It's time. And so I don't have a problem at all. I would not have a problem paying for somebody's time, even if it's a very short amount of time. And yeah, it's not as special as being at a club and walking around the corner and bumping into the lead singer, you know, and be like, oh my God. And, you know, just talking to him for a minute, getting a snapshot or whatever. But it's still, I think it's a very, like,
it's just it's a financial transaction is all it really is.
Yeah, but you still, but these guys still do appreciate it. I think they really
do they?
I think they do.
Or is it just, this is one of the things we do? I'm sure, and there's different people that have different personalities.
Yeah, it would depend on the person.
Well, sure.
Who it was, whether they wanted to be doing it or they were made to be doing it, how much time and attention they were going to give, how much it cost. There's a lot of factors.
So going to a concert is just a financial transaction then?
No,
it is,
but they're going out there, they're giving me the music that I'm expecting, well, I'm hoping to hear or expecting to enjoy.
Well, you're paying for something, and if you get what you're, if you walk away happy from it, then hey, so be it, right? I just don't think, you know, where it's the same as where people are telling artists when to quit, like with Ozzy. Oh, Ozzy's gonna come out in a wheelchair now, whatever. I'm definitely not one to say he needs to quit because it's not for me to say. The only way I can say it or not say it is just with my money and say, am I willing to pay to see that? And I haven't paid to see Ozzy live in a long time, so it doesn't matter. But it's I think people complain about this, and it's just like, look, if someone offered me $100 to meet me, I'd probably take it, you know. But the thing is, if this is what keeps these people able to be on the road and live and create music, which I think is part of the process as well, then I'm all for it. So
I don't know. To me, it just feels artificial.
It's a certain amount of that. I mean, sure, you think anytime an artist meets people walking around a club, he's just thrilled to be meeting them. He's probably like, man, I just want to go out and smoke a cigarette real quick or whatever. Oh, great. Now I got to talk to somebody. You know, I was just arguing with my drummer. Now I got to go out here and pretend everything's peachy. So,
well, you know, it's funny because I was just thinking a couple minutes ago. So you did Anthrax Stomp 442 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've told you before.
Yeah, tell the story, yeah.
So I had bought one of the singles. I think it was Nothing was the single, and it had all the Australian tour dates on the back, and they were going from Adelaide to Perth. Mm-hmm. And I think they played Adelaide on a Saturday night, and they're playing Perth on the Monday night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'll bet that they're probably flying into Perth on Sunday. So Sunday arvo, I'd called up the airlines to find out when the flights were coming in from Adelaide. and I went out with a couple of with my CD covers.
Yeah.
And I saw them start to walk out. I couldn't believe it. And then I got all shy and quirky about it. I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. But then I don't know. Got up, went across there and had a talk. And, you know, I talked to them for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And they signed some things for me. That was cool. But the next night, so this is when Paul Crook was in after Dan had left.
Yeah.
So he was playing lead. And he saw, I was in the first row at the show the next night. He made sure that I got a guitar pick from him. There was other people trying to clamor for it.
Yeah.
He made sure that his pick landed in my hand. And that memory cost me nothing other than the entry to the show that night.
And hey, now, it cost you a lot more than that. It cost you your the most valuable thing you have. It cost you your time. You had to go to the airport. You had to make some phone calls.
That's how he wanted to spend his time, though.
Well, sure. I mean, look, I guess it just annoys me when people basically say that these guys are wrong for doing it. Because I'm just like, you know,
I'm not saying they're wrong.
You wouldn't. It's not for you.
I can't think of anyone. You're just saying it's not really, it's not special as compared to your experience.
Well, sure. I mean,
it's not everybody will get to do what you did.
Exactly. Part of that is timing. And unfortunately, I was lucky enough to be around at a certain time where those things weren't happening and you could meet bands almost organically. Whereas now it's by design.
I did have another thought about it because before, you know, these guys were talking about, well, let's just say what you said. You called the airport. You made some time to go up there. But now I'm like, I certainly don't have time. I mean, and it really irks me, it makes me sad to this day because I had a chance to meet Metal Church, you know, meet Mike Howe before he passed away after a show. They were signing for free. Hey, everyone come back. The line was insanely long. I had to go home and go to work. I didn't have time to stand and wait around, you know, but if it's something where I would have paid $50, I would have gladly paid $50 and met the band, you know? So you're kind of paying for the convenience too. Instead of waiting around and hoping to meet somebody, hey, you're going to meet him. I mean, I'm sure we've all met people before where we've had a negative experience as well, right? Where someone wasn't just quite as friendly as you wanted them to be.
Gene Simmons.
Sure. Yeah. But there's no guarantee, even if you pay to meet them, that they're going to be the happiest person in the world. Because me and Vanessa talked about going and meeting the Winery Dogs. Mm-hmm. I just have this lingering feeling that Richie is just kind of an odd personality. And I was really like, man, what if we meet him and he's just, you know, kind of like, yeah, because I don't know. I mean, he might be the best personality to me. I've seen, heard interviews where he sounds like he's awesome. But then when I watch him on stage, he's got this, you know, I'm the best looking guy. I'm the best guitar player in the room kind of vibe about him too, and I'm the best singer in the room, which a lot of singers have, a lot of guitar players have, and a lot of overly handsome guys have. So, you know, he's probably had to deal with that.
Well, you've got to give out a certain amount of confidence on stage, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I know. I was thinking about Blaze Bailey the whole time. Now, I've never seen Blaze, mm-hmm. but I've heard of people that have there's no meet and greets. And Melissa from mm-hmm. Metal Chat Podcast, she's the person I always think of when I think mm-hmm. of this. Yeah. Like, her story was she went up, talked to him, and she had some photos with him. Mm-hmm. And then he was just really nice. Now, he could charge for meet and greet. It'd be at the very, very lower end is what I would expect. But he could. And look at the good faith that generates.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He's got time for his fans. He's not just trying to
bleed. But he may have to charge for a meet and a greet down the track. Now he's missing out on money.
Through circumstances.
And that would be,
I would take
know
that.
For sure that that would be a pleasant experience. So you'd be more likely to go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would take that into consideration for him in those circumstances.
Well, and Steve Harris, you know, when he does British Lion, I mean, apparently he just waits around after the show and will talk to anybody who will wait around, you know, which, I mean, but like I said, I mean, to me, I guess I think part of the thing is that it probably helps keep some of these artists able to keep being an artist and not have to just go get a 9-to-5 and work sometimes. And hey, I can tour on the weekends every now and then. It gives us entertainment. And so, but I just thought it was an interesting conversation listening to them talk about it because, you know, the guy from Dangerous Toys is a musician, you know, and that's what he does for a living. He gives music lessons and he works a job as well. But
I was just thinking two ends of the spectrum. You think about Steve Harris, he's not hurting for money. Mm-hmm. He's very, very, public, well, he's a public figure in the metal community.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, I know you are. Do I have to say the name?
Yep. Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
Exactly. And they're not hurting for a dollar.
Yeah.
But they will milk you for everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know that they don't care. It's like, okay, I'll take your cash and whatever. So,
sure.
I don't know. That annoys me. I get it with maybe mid-level bands, but some of those. But then it's supply and demand. They're not going to come out and say, well, $50, because then everyone's going to want to go and meet them. Sure. So, of course, they're going to charge $1,000 or whatever. But then that also takes away from the random fan experience of maybe running into someone and having time.
Well, those do still happen with those guys. It's just, you know, like they might be – I've seen plenty of pictures where they're walking through an airport and someone happens to catch them and gets a quick pick and, you know, something like that. And so it still happens. It's just – like whenever I always think about it, I just think – I don't want to wait around after a gig hoping to meet somebody. I can't get to a gig 4 hours before it starts. You know, I just don't have the time in my life. I'm not a rich guy by any means, but I have more time than I do. I have more money than I do spare time. You know, your life gets so busy as an adult that I'm like, if I could spend $100 and meet somebody, more than likely I'd, you know, and I could get a few minutes, I'd probably do it, you know?
Come back to my house. I'll take your money.
Well, I've had that experience for free, and that wasn't even worth it.
you can pay to meet me. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I would have to pay dearly to meet Kirsty because it'd cost me at least $10,000 in air travel to get back home. Okay. Well, I guess that's enough on that there. But I looked through all of this this podcast called Talk Louder, and I looked through. They have just a ton of episodes. They got some that are just where they just go through and talk about great drummers and great guitar players, and they interview lots of different people, and so I thought it's one that I've got a whole bunch of them picked out to listen to now. So, but that's all the podcasts that I listen to. So I only got two last week, and I hope to get more this week. I plan on it. So, but I guess we should really quickly get over to the audience participation, Matthew.
You should.
So the episode that came out last week was retweeted a lot. It was retweeted by somebody named Ballad in Midwest Ireland. The Scouser, the one and only Scouser now, David Laird in Liverpool, England. The only participating Scouser, I'll say it that way. Ron Kramer in Washington State. Kirsty, please introduce the next one for me. You know who it is.
No. Is it the Ugly American Werewolf?
No. Go with your gut. Who would I ask you for help with?
Oh, Ken?
Yes.
Ken, the detention teacher.
All right, here,
let's see. The happiest man in podcast land. The Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Ken Murray, yes. Tani of Chiba, Japan.
Kirsty, I thought you just get. I thought she'll know as soon as I say it's her turn. She'll know who I'm going for. Okay, sorry about that, Gen. Kirsty doesn't think of you as much as I do. Next up, I had a Jesse in Illinois, the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock podcast in London, Amsterdam, and Louisville, Kentucky. Willie Valaverta in Finland. Man Olito in Avde Concha Espina.
Woo!
I don't know if that's correct or not, so sorry if I butcher that. And the Wizard of Steel on Twitter. The Queetquotes. Ballad in Midwest Ireland, and he said, great show, and I know... And I'm going to read this the way he wrote it. I'm going to pronounce the word the way he wrote it, spelled it. Also great listening to Werewolf series. Mm-hmm. Highlander, AFD, all good. What does Highlander and AFD mean, Kirsty? Any idea? AFD?
Nope.
I don't know. Okay.
All something done?
But, maybe I would have had to have listened to their podcast today.
Yeah, I have no idea. No idea. Okay, I just wondered. Gen Murray Yatani in Chiba, Japan. There are many things I like about Iron Maiden stories. One of them is when I can hear their passion, excitement, and love of the band from how they talk. Jesse in Illinois, obviously referring a certain movie, Kirsty. You send in the Wolf? You know what movie that is, right, Kirsty?
I know what that is.
Is it Pulp Fiction?
Yes. It is. Yeah. Oh, you sent in the Wolf? Oh, you didn't have to say nothing. Yeah, that's funny. And then he said, and he loves Dio? Lots of question marks. Mm-hmm. Straight up blasphemy. And then he wrote, and this is another question I'm going to have. He said, I loved Uncle Steve's reaction. What was my reaction? Oh, no. I don't know what it was.
When you know it's coming, you just know it's coming. You're like, oh, no.
Oh, okay. So I knew he was going to say he loved Dio.
And everyone who knows you knows what's coming. Like,
yeah, I guess
but, so. You know, you were very respectful since it was somebody that you don't know as well.
Yeah. I didn't want to be rude, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually stop me. Yeah. Next up was Willie Valaverta, and he said, another cool installment of Maiden Stories. Woofing great. I would have loved to see that show in the nightclub on the X Factor tour. On X Factor, I'm sorry. Up the irons. And then I wrote this. I did a little post because I didn't really make a big deal out of it like I was doing the Sound of A last month, but I wrote hashtag Iron Maiden is officially on. This month we celebrate hashtag Iron Maiden.
Jim Florence ain't with that hearing that anymore. Hashtag.
No.
I'm thinking about you doing that.
Oh, God. I said, I mean, it is an Iron Maiden podcast after all.
Hashtag
Maiden all month.
Hoxton.
Hoxton. If you know, you know, right, Matt?
Exactly. I'm picking up what's getting put down.
Yeah. Oh, next up is the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock podcast said, all Iron Maiden fans and Ugly American Werewolf in London fans need to know about Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, a fun podcast with stories of hashtag Iron Maiden fans from all around the world. I recently spoke with Steve about my Maiden. I recently spoke with Steve about my Maiden journey and seeing them live over the years. Another one from him. I had a great time talking Iron Maiden with Uncle Steve on his latest edition of Iron Maiden Stories. Check out our hashtag episodes, Iron Maiden episodes. All right, let me read that again, Matt. I messed it up. Check out our hashtag Iron Maiden episodes. Peace of mind, fear of the dark. More on the next tweet. More. Here's more. I want to thank Uncle Steve for having me on to talk about Iron Maiden ahead of my trek to Amsterdam and Brussels to see them this summer. Fun conversation. Thanks, Steve. You can hear about our 7 hashtag Iron Maiden episodes here.
Hashtag
up the irons. Whew. Matthew.
Hashtag.
That's rough.
I'm not praying there's no more tweets with hashtag.
No. Let's see.
I'll be honest. You know what? I've done that at the house here by myself.
I'd have to.
Hashtag.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then I wanted to read, before I read the Waffle Zone tweet, I wanted to read a tweet from the Powerage episode that got in late, and I meant to read it and I just missed it, and last week I forgot to read it again, but I thought it would be probably best to read it with you two on the line, because it says, it's from Jose in Uruguay, and he aired the Powerage episode. He said, catching up on the AC/DC episode, Steve, with two famous Aussies, Kirsty and Matt.
Oh,
but Andrew's the most English of English gentlemen. He's not going to get called an Aussie.
Yeah, Matt, come on.
Well, there's also Mark.
But I thought, yes, yeah. Well, but he didn't spell it that way.
Very funny.
Yeah, he said Kirsty and Matt very clearly here. The two famous Aussies. And I thought Matt would appreciate it.
And he said me first, which is great because.
Because you're not the official.
I'm a dual citizen.
Okay,
yeah. I've been here like more than half my adult life, so yeah, I'll take it. I don't mind.
Age before beauty.
Yeah, there you go. And I know Matt always appreciates a pat on the back, you know. So
that's a very nice thing of him to say.
Yeah.
Even if he did spell Mark's name wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have the Waffle Zone retweets and tweet quotes as well. We have the Scouser, David Laird, in Liverpool, England. the official detention teacher, the happiest man in podcast land, the Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, Gen Murray Yatani in Chiba, Japan again, Jesse in Illinois, Willie Valaverta in Finland. I'm trying to have the hiccups. I'm sorry. That probably sounds funny.
Trying to have hiccups.
I'm trying.
Try not to.
They're trying to get it. They're trying to get up, but I'm just trying to hold them. I'm trying to talk fast. So. And lastly, on the retweets is Ron Kramer in Washington State. There's only two tweet quotes before we end. And the first one is from the official historian, administrator, translator, and former medical advisor. Hopefully, so there's no more medical advising needing to be done, hopefully. So, Kirsty, that is you, and as you said, I really enjoyed listening to Andrew waffle on. It was interesting to hear what he'd been listening to and why. And we'll end the episode with the Riffweiser himself, Jesse in Illinois, and he said, and I don't remember, well, I don't know what this means. You'll have to maybe translate whenever this first name I read. You had me at Chris DeBerg.
Christopher.
Who's that?
He sings. Day.
He's a singer. He's like famous.
What does he say?
Lady in Red.
Lady in Red. Yeah.
Who?
The Lady in Red.
I thought that was a band.
Driving Home for Christmas?
I don't know that one.
No, drawing a blank there. Okay, anyway, let me read it again. You had me at Chris DeBerg and beers, Andrew. And then he said, and I don't think Uncle Steve's drinking days ever started. So we had a couple of drinking days in Georgia one time, right, Matt?
Savannah, yes. Someone was quite partial to the offerings down that way.
The very, very sour whatever they were serving.
They were ladylike drinks, and I didn't want to say anything, but...
They were good, though. We were all drinking them.
Yeah, you know, I had one with you, I think.
Yeah, you had more than one with me, actually. So those were good, man. If I ever go back there, I'm going to find that place and have me some... Whatever, I just remember how we found them because Matt said, what's the most sour thing y'all have? And that's how we, whatever it was delicious. So, but with that, Matthew and Kirstie, we will end the Waffle Zone. So what should people do now, Matthew?
They should waffle onto the main episode, shouldn't they?
Kirstie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they should probably go and do that. In fact, I expect they are very excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. So waffle on over and listen to the Weekend Warrior himself.